Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Fleetwood Mac there with Go Your Own Way from their 1977 album Rumours. We're going to be talking in a second now to a woman who went her own way all her life. But this morning we're going back to 1975, 50 years ago, when Fleetwood Mac released their self-titled album, which featured two brand new members, a young couple named Stevie Nicks and Lindsay Buckingham. And with these new additions, the band had finally found the magic formula that would define their most iconic era in terms of hits and income. And of course, the world was introduced to one of the most tumultuous and creative partnerships in modern music. As I say, Cáilte Reardon, musician, former bass player with the Pogues, is here to talk us through this. Cáilte, good morning to you. Thanks for coming in.
Hello, Carl. First of all, I'd like to register a protest. I said I'd come and do this on the strict understanding that you wouldn't play any Lindsay Buckingham vocals.
All right, OK. Well, we apologise for that. You would be associated as somebody from the punk indie kind of genres. Fleetwood Mac, would you ever admit it to grudgingly humming along to them back in the 70s?
I've had to dismantle my very juvenile snobbishness about the band over the years. I paid no attention to Fleetwood Mac until 1979. I was 14. I just started reading The Enemy, Hot Press. I got my own transistor. And I was listening to my usual rock indie stations, and they said, now it's a really big deal. Fleetwood Mac have released a new album. It's called Tusk. And they played this really boring, weird track. And I was like, what is the fuss about this band? And all I knew about the band was cocaine and adultery, because that's all you read about them at the time at my age. And I had to go back and find out what was the connection between the tracks you'd hear before Tusk, which was the Peter Green Fleetwood Mac, a supremely talented guitar
player. Going back to about, 1968, and very much a blues band, wasn't it?
Very much, and phenomenal guitar work. And that was what the music press were very interested in, these two poles, the Peter Green bluesy Fleetwood Mac and the spectacular disaster of the California Fleetwood Mac. So going back to understand, who are these women in the band was a big deal for me.
All right. How did the addition of Stevie Nicks and Lindsay Buckingham transform the band from, you know, where you had to go back and do your research to Peter Green era? What was the flip?
The flip was really, first of all, the band was an English band originally. They made 10 albums as a UK guitar band. And then they moved to California, which was huge. They were checking out studios. They heard a demo from this talented young couple who'd made an album and hadn't really gone anywhere. And it was just one of those moments in music history. Mick Fleetwood, the drummer, recognized something in the sound he was hearing and said, let's try them. And brought them in and they gelled. And that's something you can't manufacture. You click or you don't click. And I like to think they just saw something in Stevie particularly. And Christine McVie was a phenomenal songwriter, singer. She was the keyboardist in the band. And maybe she just wanted another woman in the band.
Yeah, always good to have an ally, all right. Really? You know what it's like, that lonely spot of being the only woman in the band.
Tell me.
I think we detect you're more of a Stevie Nicks than a Lindsay Buckingham fan. And as you say, Mick Fleetwood, Christine and John McVie as well. How much is that kind of chemistry in the band on show in their sound, do you think?
I think in the first album, it's bitty. It's very bitty. It starts off with a Lindsay Buckingham vocal. He's just nails down the blackboard to me. I like him when he's mixed back, harmonising, supporting the women. When he's up front, it's like, ugh, I don't like this noise. But it's very bitty. It starts with him singing a very trudgy kind of bluesy track, which I guess Mac fans would have expected. And then the next song, it's a very typical Christine McVie warm one. Then it's another Lindsay song. But then it's Rhiannon, Stevie Nicks. You hear her for the first time. And honestly, just it's hairs on the back of the neck.
She's all right. Well, let's have a go with that one. Definitely hear the bass there as well, which is part of the appeal to you, is it?
The drums are pattering away, and I mean, Stevie's voice is right there. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and it gets up. There's a bit of a kind of a wild pitch in it as she gets into it. That's what she kind of became famous for. That song is a good introduction to what she would do with
yes,
the band, isn't
mythology,
it?
Mythology, vibes, massive vibes, which, of course, as a post-punk indie kid, we didn't like witchy women. We like tough, strong women. We didn't understand how strong Stevie was. We thought Susie Sue, yeah, Debbie Harry, yeah. Stevie still carried the taint of hippie, which was the biggest insult you could throw at somebody.
Especially, well, it's the biggest insult the pages of the NME anyway could throw at them.
Hippie and poser.
Yeah, well, so Stevie Nicks, that was their introduction to the band, and 2 years later, they'd release Rumours. And over the course of those 2 years, Lindsay Buckingham and Stevie Nicks' relationship was going to hell in a handbasket. I think it'd be a fair summation of it.
Yeah, this is the way it's always the legend now, is all that kind of intra-band turmoil contributed to the greatness. But I mean, there's an alternative view, which is just they were 2 years further into the partnership of the band at that stage. Maybe the songwriting got better because they'd just been together longer at that stage. Like, I mean, don't want to plug my old band, but I'm gonna. The Pogues, Rum mm-hmm. Sodomy and the Lash is 40 years old this week. And there's a real jump between first album.
Red Roses for Me, is it? Yeah.
Thank you,
Cole. The Rum Sodomy and the Lash was, I spent a year in Germany, and Rum Sodomy and the Lash, I'd say, was just on constant play. It was
a
great album for a sing-along,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the leap in songwriting, and it's just because, you know, we were 2 years further in, so I'm not sure about the Fleetwood Mac mythology, and this is the thing, there's the myth of the troubled genius. I'm not sure now, looking back, how messed up you have to be great. I think sometimes the two things can run concurrently, but it is a much better story that the fighting and the turmoil.
Sure, and we've got the track Go Your Own Way, which is about that breakup.
Well, Christine McVie wrote that, Colm.
All right.
Yeah, she let Lindsay sing because that's the kind of woman she is.
Right, there you go. Another plug for the women, fair play. Okay, and of course, everybody will be familiar with this, from montages of football goals to whatever. This is a tune, whether you know what it is or not. Here's a clip from Rumours, Chain. Chain, that's one, that's There you go. That's the bass laid bare there. It kind of comes in at the end of the song. It's like a whole new track stuck on the end of a song.
Save the best for like every bass player in the nation is sitting up straight, air bass guitar.
Did you ever give it a rattle? Did you ever play it?
Oh, of course.
Yeah?
Bass player 101, you have to learn it.
Right. And look, we know what was going on or what was beginning to start going on. I think not to cast any aspersions on anyone, in the words of John McVie himself, he told Rolling Stone in 1977 that the making of that album was amazing, terrifying, huge amounts of illicit material, yards and yards of wretched stuff, days and nights would just go on and on. And despite that, I mean, the rock and roll, some people would say because of, but despite that, they knocked out a pretty good album.
Are we talking about rumours now?
We are talking about rumours, yeah.
It's one banger after another. It's so good. Every track on it, even the Lindsay tracks, it's one you can put on and just play all the way through. You don't have to skip tracks.
Yeah. And could you pick out a particular favourite?
I've been introducing Lindsay Buckingham, but Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow is my favourite. I've got a very soft spot in my heart, very specific moment in time. 2004, I was up on the trek up to Everest Base Camp.
Oh, yeah.
I was on the support team. Pat Falvey was going up there with Dr. Claire O'Leary from Bandon. She was on track to become the first Irish woman to summit Everest. So I was on the support team. And she summited. Fantastic. She got down safe, thank God. And we trekked down to Namche Bazaar and had a big party in a pub. And it's a fuzzy memory, but I remember at some point looking around, we're all standing on tables. Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow is blaring out over this rickety old sound system. There's tricolours being waved. And I look over and Dr. Claire is just sitting down with a very beatific smile on her face. And that's burned into my memory. That is my Fleetwood Mac moment.
Okay, there you go. Fleetwood Mac themselves, as we've just heard, no strangers to the snowy summits.
Oh, albeit, hey, calm, this hey. Is why I hear them, man.
Culture Reardon, musician and former bass player with the Pogues. Thanks very much for that. Now, are you doing anything before we let you go on Rum, Sodomy and the Lash at 40? Any gigs, any concerts?
I'm not involved in those gigs. I'm tied up with Paul Muldoon, the poet, who also has a band, and we recorded an album with Tony Visconti this year. So I'm going back to New York in a couple of weeks and we're doing a bunch of promos and we're showcasing at Americana Fest. And so... separate roads.
All right. Well, the very best of luck with it.
Thank you.
Enjoy that time on the road. Now, coming up, we're going to have our gathering here to go through the big stories of the week. Back in a minute.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.